Anyway, DVF mobile. W8FU Golden Butthole Mobile. W8FU. W8DAP. Oh yeah? Roger. Hey, what happened to the morning brew? Thought that was every day. What is the morning brew? It's a nut they have every day. I listen to it on the way to work. It's simulcasted on the GM repeater. It's East Coast Reflector hosting that. No, it's the morning brew. And today it's not out there. I don't know if they don't do Fridays or something happened. I don't know. Oh, yeah, East Coast Reflector in the morning, yeah. I don't know. They could have network issues, you know. Maybe their all-star node is disconnected and nobody got to it. Who knows? But, yeah, I happened to listen to that yesterday, as a matter of fact, for the first time ever. I didn't put that name together with what you... But now, yes, I know what you're talking about. Well, you could always connect your node up to East Coast Reflector and see if it's actually going on. Then you'll know it's just a GM thing. Roger. Yeah, I don't think I have that preset, my macro, and I don't know what the node number is. But, maybe I'll mess with it when I get to work. Anyhow. Or are you off to work, or going somewhere for work, or off work? I have a meeting at the main office to discuss finances this morning. So, oh joy, and I just pulled up. The meeting starts at 8:30, so I'm going to mosey on in there and get to my glorious financial discussions. What could be more fun? All right, anyhow, gonna get to it. Enjoy your day. W8FU. Roger. Yeah, last day of the month is really hectic. Then the first day of the month is pretty laid back. So should be a pretty laid back Friday, hopefully. All right, catch you later, W-A-D-A-P. NHKTP is mobile in it. The beautiful Richmond.
KFABWP monitoring mobile.
This is November 9er Victor Yankee.
Copy. I'm mobile. I can't write down your call sign, but my name is Steve.
Yeah, Steve. Name here is Roger, and heard you out there. Just wanted to come back to you. Short conversation. I know you're mobile, you said. I didn't get your whole call sign, though. 8WT is the last part.
Yes, Kilo Foxtrot 8, Bravo Whiskey Papa.
Oh, Roger. Good copy there. Yeah, I saw this repeater out there. I grew up in Fenton. I live in Illinois now, but just thought I'd just give a shout out there and see what activity there is on the local repeater.
Okay, so you're in Illinois right now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we're going to be driving up this upcoming week to visit. My uncle lives up in Flint, and going to try and take care of some of his yard work for him before it gets to where that everything's frozen to the ground.
Yeah, Roger, it's been pretty nice over here, quite dry still. Yeah, if you get on that yard work within the next few days here, it should be okay.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Yeah, down here it's been quite dry. We've had recent rains, but it's been pretty easy to keep up with the leaves as they've been dropping lately. So, yeah, I'm hoping to get the same thing when I come up there and get everything cleaned up for him. And, you know, he's just not able to get out of the house anymore. He's just kind of at that age now. It kind of helps with have somebody come in and help out.
Yeah, I know how that goes. And I'm still up and running. The wife and I retired about 5 years ago and bought a piece of property. Got 6.5 acres to maintain. And I tell you what, it's a little harder to maintain now than it was 5 years ago or 7 years ago when we bought it.
Oh, yeah, I understand. And we're contemplating a move before long ourselves, but one of the things that we need is have family nearby because we have a son that needs a little bit of attention. So we're not going to live forever, so we got to have those plans.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, we have our family. We're blessed enough to have our family within, you know, 45 minutes cops ride from our home, so we should get to see our grandchildren and all that on a pretty regular basis.
Oh, yeah, that's always great to have grandkids and all that and having family nearby. But, I'm retired myself. I retired from the state of Illinois and kind of kicking around today. I decided that while I still got enough activity in my body, I went and worked during the summer seasonal work helping out the local park district. And I'll tell you what, at times it really wears on my body, but I'm kind of glad that I'm keeping active for a little while yet.
Yes, a friend of mine does that too in retirement. I think they call it maybe Habitat for Humanity. They work on homes, but they work at the parks too, like trimming back, cutting out invasive species, autumn olive, and things like that. Yeah, it's hard work.
Oh yeah, sure, it sure is. And I've learned a lot from these guys. They're it's the horticulture division of the park district, and you know, doing a few things like you were saying, cutting out junk trees, and we put down mulch, and we plant some flowers, and we've actually got a small greenhouse, and things like banana trees that don't survive through the winter, we put in the greenhouse through the winter, and we bring them out, and they sit by a pool and down by the lake in our community.
Yeah, you get to learn so much, too. That's the best part of it. I love learning new things. I belong to a hunt club as well, or a shooting club near my home, and we have a bunch of that invasive species growing in there, too. So we're trying to eradicate it, but it's hard to stay ahead of it.
Yeah, and a lot of them just grow so fast you'd never know they even did it about a month later. So it does keep you busy on that. And we also have trees that come down, have to be cut up, and take them out to a burn pile. And I drive the dump truck out there and drop that off. And I picked up a spray license and go out and spray. The park's got a zoo also, a real small zoo, and they've got a little train that goes around the zoo, so I spray the train tracks, probably once a week, because it has to be kicked down pretty hard to keep it looking nice and to keep things from growing up into the train tracks. But, yeah, it keeps me busy through the summer, and now I'm just unemployed through the winter, and eventually in a couple of years we plan on packing up and getting out of here and moving someplace a little bit warmer and closer to my wife's side of the family. Mine all lives up in that area, and like I said, I grew up on White Lake Road up there.
Yeah, I've lived in Michigan all my life, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I really love this state. It's got everything that I like, and a lot of the things I don't like hurricanes and some of these natural disasters that strike these other states are just terrible. So, yeah, I love Michigan here. We try to get out about for a month in March, typically every year. So we head to Florida. But this year, we haven't made any arrangements. We don't know, you know, if there's any arrangements to be had, really.
Yeah, we often would go down to the Gulf Coast and stay down in that area, Pensacola or down in Gulf Shores in Alabama, just down in that little area over there. And the one year we went down, I booked a luxury condo for a little while. A little expensive, but, you know, if I did it on a regular basis and rented it by the month, it wouldn't be a bad way to go every year to go down. I know a couple people, that's what they do.
Roger, you're getting pretty hard to copy through the popcorn as I'm heading north. I'm losing the signal. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I wish you 7-3, and I'll be monitoring this channel.
This is KE8YGZ Mobile.
KE8YGZ, this is KF8BWP. I'm also mobile.
Good morning. I caught the tail end of your conversation with the other fella, and you said you hadn't made plans for March yet. These are bigger plans, but you might try New Zealand. I understand it's beautiful in March, February and March. Beautiful weather, and better than Florida, and it's not as it's not a big tourist destination, so you won't get all the crowds.
Yeah, I'm not much for leaving the country, really. I'm just not. Really, if I never left Michigan another day in my life, actually, I'd be happy. So I'm not much of a traveler. My wife, she would hope to travel a little bit more, I think, but I haven't even seen most of America yet, much less traveling to Europe or New Zealand.
Well, I just thought I'd throw that out to you. I have reached my destination. This is KE8YGV. Over and clear, and 73 to you.
K8 is clear. Nice talking to you.
This is N9VVY. Sorry about that. I got disconnected. I don't know what happened. But I'm going to say 73. Steve, thanks for the ride-along in the QSO this morning, and you have yourself a wonderful day. Well, I'll say 73s, and you take care. Bye.
You too. It's been a pleasure talking to you. KF8BWP Monitoring. NAKDP. NAKDP Richmond. Where's lunch? W8FU. Oh. Uh-huh. Oh, if you say so. Well, I get four fun-filled days off.
Yay.
Really? More time off for you? That's not acceptable. Oh, wait, never mind. You're management.
Well, we get in even years we get election day off, and so I opted. I took a personal day on Monday, so that gives me Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Whee!
Yeah, as a news organization, we do not get election day off. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I could see that. But, that makes sense. You know, in my line of work, the thing that gets funky is our clientele don't have any days off. You know, they just rotate around, but somebody, you know, it's 24/7, 365 operation. But they don't know that, and so, you know, we'll get calls on Tuesday, you know, and they'll be surprised we're off, just like everybody else.
Yeah, like you're off.
Uh-huh. All right, I got to run inside the store here. Cattleman's. See if they've got some good produce. Looking for some apples. Been on an apple kick lately. I'll be back.
Waterfront, behind the business, close to the rent center.
outside.
Oh, Mrs. Kilo Charlie, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
The Ren Fen that they're going to supposedly demolish, I don't know if they're still going to do that or not.
I think it's only a couple towers they're going to repurpose by removing them. And that's a story I heard after GM moves out. But we'll see what happens. I'm down by the old, by the First Presbyterian Church off of 4th Street.
Ah, okay. All right, I got a call I gotta take, so I will be back in a bit. KFAS.
KFAS 73 KCKGO. Who'd you all for now?
N8KBB Mobile. Are you working, Sean?
W8FU from N8KBB.
KE8BSI? KE8BSI? You got copy, Greg? KZ8Z.
Nobody cares.
You going over to 12 Mile High, Sean?
No, I think I'll skip that tomfoolery. You've been listening to it?
No, I just saw that he's going to be talking there again.
I find the only people that attend these things, especially this late in the race, are true believers, quote-unquote, and they scare me on both sides of the aisle.
Yep, less than a week and it's all over. Then we get to, somebody's not going to be happy and we'll get to hear about all that.
I hope whoever wins by a significant amount so that there's just nothing to contest. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, you know, that's not going to happen.
It is really not looking like it. It's looking like it's going to be razor thin and possibly contested, but you never know. You never know. I think the most vocal people get the most press and you see the most. But I think there's a lot of people out there just quietly waiting to go to the polls. So you never know. But whichever way it rocks out, I don't care. Just make it clear.
Well, even if it is clear, it's going to be, they cheated or they cheated over here, and, somebody's going to be not happy.
Well, I'm not under any illusion that any of the corporate tools that are running against each other are going to be significantly any different. They make lip service, but in the end, they don't, progress the corporate agenda. So I'm not convinced that it's going to make one hill of beans difference either way.
Yeah. You promote these to the top where they can't hurt anybody?
So what else is new and exciting? Are you working or commuting or you up at home or what?
So went the whole week without going in the office once. between all the Halloween and having the kids and everything, it just didn't work out this week.
Work was getting in the way of life.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. just it's hard to do things, especially with getting dark so early now that by the time I get home, it's about 6 o'clock by the time I finally get through all the traffic, you know.
So it's going to be lighter when we leave for work after the weekend and get darker even earlier, right? Yeah, because we fall back. That means, yeah, that's right. It'll be darker earlier. I think Sunday's the rollback, right?
Yep. It's going to be the only time the sun's out is when you're at work. Sitting in the office, watching the sun shine out the window.
I so wish they would get rid of daylight savings. It's just such a pain in the arse and waste of time. I don't see any value in it at all. Anywho, I am at the window at Walgreens to pick up a script. I've got to talk to him here. I'll be back. W8FU.
Spring forward and leave it there. Yeah, you'll be fine.
Okie dokie. Oh, man. Everybody's got to go to Walgreens now. I pulled up. There were two cars ahead of me. I got in line. Now there's four cars behind me. Like, good grief.
Yeah, that's definitely a pain now. I ended up having to go to Kroger this last time to get my medication, and it actually wasn't too bad.
Yeah, both the Rite Aid and the CVS by me shut down, and I hear CVS's are shutting down, like, left and right, just like Rite Aid's before. And so Walgreens is the only thing open. Now, I got a Meijer's, actually a little bit closer to my house, and a Kroger's. And I could go to either one of those, but then my, almost coinciding perfectly with this shutting down of Rite Aid, which is our pharmacy for years, my insurance company suddenly tells us, by the way, if you want a 90-day supply, you can only get that from Walgreens. You can't get that from anyone else. You can still get your script filled anywhere else, but you won't get the 90-day supply. And the thing is, with the 90-day supply, is if I get the 90-day, they only charge me two copays. So I save 33 and a third, by getting a 90-day supply. None of my prescriptions have a particularly high copay. I think the highest one I pay is 25. But, I pay 50 for 3 months' worth of this medicine I just picked up, as opposed to 75. That's a pretty good savings. So give me the 90-day, right?
Yeah, I hate that mail order stuff. I've had a few insurance policies that want you to do that, and it's just, it's either one way or the other. Like, you forget that you need to order it, and then, it takes forever to get it, and you end up going days without it, or the other way around, where you set it up automatically and forget to cancel it when you don't take it anymore, and you get, 90 days of pills that you don't need, and I hate that. I like the good one good thing with our insurance is through CVS, so you can get 90-day supplies at CVS, but the only meds I'm on right now, they only give them to me once a month, and the one I don't even bill through insurance because it's cheaper to pay without insurance because I'm on a high deductible. They're not covering anything right now, so it's cheaper to pay without insurance.
Yeah, I got, most of mine are just really routine. I only have, well, I got two of them that are higher, but one is only, I only got to take it four times a year. And then I got another one that's, you know, hits that $25, so I get, you know, 90 days worth for $50. But most of mine are really cheap, you know, and you know, it's just like metformin and cholesterol pill. So those are cheap no matter what. My wife, on the other hand, has a few that hit that $25 mark. One I picked up today, as a matter of fact, is 25. So like I said, I like saving the $25. But yeah, I get it. You know, if you now, you know, now we got 90 days worth, and these are, you kind of administer as needed. It's an inhaler, and you know, and so if you overuse it, you could be out long before you know, you're ready, you're eligible for more. And you know, whereas if you go month by month, you know, you can never be out more than a bit, right? I don't know. But I like the 90-day, and especially with the more expensive scripts. But you're right, it can be tough to manage that.
Yeah, I've got an inhaler that one I just got to go every month and get, and that one's actually no payment on that. That one's one of their preferred prescriptions. The other one I had to get the doctor to write, you know, special approval to have them even cover it, and then when I went to go get it filled, it was like they took a $150 prescription, made it $120 or something like that. It was not really any sort of discount, and I was like, I don't know, but I just pay for that with cash and not worry about adding on to my my deductible. It ends up being cheaper in the long run.
Well, one thing's faux show, and that's there's no easy button for medical insurance and prescription plans and all that stuff. They are all over the page. I'm pretty happy with mine, and I will get to carry it in the retirement, so that's cool. And you know, otherwise, I didn't even know what the hell we'd pay if you know, mine wouldn't be terrible, but actually, that's not even true. I got one I take, the one that I take quarterly. It's absolutely outrageous what they charge for this. I have no idea what it would cost without a prescription, but when I looked up how much a single dose of that stuff was, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Maybe I've heard some of those are, you know, in the thousands. The elderly people get, you know, spending more money on medication than they get in a month, and yeah, it's crazy. But I've had a few times where you know, you get the copay, and you know, it's $50 or $100 or whatever. So what is it? I just pay cash, and oh, it'll be $2. What?
That's really interesting. I'll have to investigate that. You know, it'd be nice if there was some way you could go find that out. You know, but all this seems to be a mystery. There's like this one that I'm getting, this Skyrizi. That's the one that costs, you know, an exorbitant amount of money. You know, I get it for $25 on my insurance, but which is, you know, just it's almost embarrassing. And then they tell me, say, oh, by the way, we got this program, and if, you know, if you sign up for it, you know, we can reduce your the amount you pay. And I go, well, I only pay $25, you know, on this thing. And they go, you know, I'll fill out the form. Now they only charge me $5. So I paid $5 for this. If you ever get a chance, look up Skyrizi. Look up the price of that. You know, you'd be seated when you look at it.
Yeah, I've had some inhalers where they, you get the manufacturer coupon or whatever, and they give you like a year of, they pay your copay, whatever it is, so you just give the pharmacist that little piece of paper. They type in the numbers, and whatever your copay is, they pay it. And it's like, oh, so they're just getting the money from the insurance to pay for it. But, yeah, some of those, especially when you just have those copays that are flat rates, like sometimes just going through like a GoodRx card or whatever ends up being cheaper. Yeah, my one medication is, I think it's about $120 if I go through insurance, but if I go through GoodRx card, it's like $40.
Yeah, I'll have to pursue that, see what I can do with mine. Like I said, I don't have a whole lot. That's to concern myself with. So, all right. Anyhow, I just pulled back up at home. Gonna get inside. Gobble you 8FU after yours.
All righty. Yeah, I gotta get out there and chop off what's left of the leaves and get the last mow in probably. 7-3 is the ambient line.
Peter, KD8, November, Bravo, Whiskey, get the radio check.
W-8-D-A-P.
Are you on the phone or are you on the radio? P-C-K-J-O.
No, I'd be on the radio. I'd be in the mobile. There wasn't anybody really on the repeater that much today. I was listening at work on the phone.
I was in and out. And I was stuck between two buildings, so my signal was bouncing across, you know, against all the brick and mortar downtown Detroit. Talked to KPP earlier on DMR, Eastpak, and he's setting up to Vegas for a business trip. And now I'm just pulling into Richmond, and I got a town hall meeting at 7 o'clock. Go see how that's going with our city candidates.
Yeah, that'd be nice. If ours were at 7, ours are at 5:30, so no one could, anyone that's working can't go there. Unless you, like, get off work early and rush home. But, yeah. Yeah, I don't know why they made them at 5:30. Just, a lot of people can't go.
this election. Maybe in a couple years I'll rerun again. But we got three or four positions open for city council, and for mayor, and I think that's it. But I know who all the candidates are, so we're doing a kind of, you know, like I said, a town hall where everybody can meet the new candidates, meet the city council, meet all the planning commission members, you know, so hopefully it's going to be a good turnout.
This is for Richmond, right?
Negative, 10 miles north, Memphis.
Well, Captain Don's got my vote for whatever. Captain Don isn't running for anything, is he?
No, he's in Casco. This is, Memphis is just north of Richmond, and Don lives east of me. You know, down the Rattle Run, Gratiot area. I'm up off of M-19, Boardman, just south of Emmett. It's the next town north on M-19 once you get through Richmond.
Oh, yeah, I got mixed up. He's in Columbus. He's in Columbus Township or whatever.
Yeah, like I said, he's a little bit east of me. I mean, but it's a, you know, we're a small little town. We're only 1 square mile split between St. Clair and Macomb counties. But, you know, we got a couple things going on in town, and everybody's got a voice on it and opinions and everything else like that. So we're all volunteers. We don't get paid, you know, we don't get paid a buttload of money. You know, the mayor makes like $1,200 a year. I make maybe $120 a year for, you know, for my position. I'm the planning commissioner. So, or I'm one of nine. I'm the chairperson. So, just going out there to do a meet and greet with everybody. Plus, like I said, we got some residents that are running for the new council positions. So, let's see how it goes.
Okay. Sounds good. And my plans tonight, try to get to bed early and get up early and go up north, hit the road early. Want to do some furniture shopping up there. Getting some new furniture for the cottage up there, and there's some good places in town in West Branch. They close pretty early on the weekends. I want to hit a couple three different ones. Other than that, it's supposed to be nice tomorrow, but Sunday is supposed to rain all day. Don't matter. Anywho, very good.
Yeah, tomorrow, meeting my daughter and her boyfriend at this flash tattoo event for a shelter. So it's like an $80, you know, $80 for a little tattoo, and a portion of it goes towards the shelter, you know, for paws and claws and stuff like that. So I'm like, $80. I'll go up to hit me with the needle. And I go, no, then, you know, I won't get the tattoo, and I'll still donate the $80.
Yep. Yeah. I would probably do the same thing, just donate the money. Yeah. So. Sounds like you got a fun weekend planned.
Yeah, like I said, this will be my first tattoo. Like I said, they call it flash because it only takes like half an hour, and it's only maybe an inch long. I'm going to do a heartbeat with a heart at the end of it kind of thing. My daughter, she's going to do a cat on a skull or something like that. This will be like her fourth tattoo. She's got two large ones, and then she did a flash tattoo earlier this year. and she has basically a dinosaur holding a teacup. So my wife and I are like, man, give it a shot. It's small, it's fast, it's just one color. I'm used to being pricked with needles, so why not?
Well, you could get your call sign tattooed or Bofang tattooed on your arm. A friend of mine is into geocaching. He has a travel bug tattooed on his arm. You go up to him and just log his arm as a travel bug, if you know what that is.
You got a picture of a Stanley travel mug?
I don't know. It's something in geocaching. It's like looks like normally they're on a dog tag and they attach it to something, and then you find it, and then you move it along to another geocache, and then the person who puts it out says where they want it to end up. Let's say you want it to end up in Florida or something. Maybe someone going down to Ohio will pick it up, put it in a geocache there, and someone else will take it from Ohio to Kentucky or whatever. But yeah, they're basically just little things that you take out and you move it along. But he's got one tattooed on his arm, which is really weird. So wherever he goes, he can log it.
Well, that's Patrick, and sounds pretty cool. I see that with the little rocks. You have a little painted rock, and then you take a picture where you found it, and then you put it somewhere else, wherever you travel to. I got one of those sitting at the house. We haven't put it out yet, but I get what it is.
WAEAP. Yeah, I've seen a lot of those inside of geocaches. And I found them. I seen them a lot in the nursing home parking lot. They just lay them on the bottom of like a street light or whatever. The little box at the bottom of the street light. Like I said, they're very popular inside of geocaches, and I have several of those things. And there's like a Facebook page. You can go there and see where you found it, and see where you're taking it.
KGKGO. Yeah, I think it all started, it might be a new thing or it might be something that's been around for a while. But I know that the roaming gnome was a popular one, along with Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, I just started noticing it about 4 or 5 years ago, like the beginning of COVID or just before COVID. I mean, it's probably going on longer than that, but that's just when I started seeing them.
Rush hour traffic on N-19 through Richmond. All slowed down because of COVID. But that's what you get for living in the country. Yeah, that's, like I said, I've seen the little rocks here and there. The geocaching, I've got a friend on Facebook that does it, her and her husband. So she's all over the place. Like I said, I've seen the roaming gnome, the Travelocity roaming gnome. People got one and they put it in a suitcase and they take it to Paris or Italy and they take pictures of it. So it seems like it's a neat little activity.
I have a friend at work who's heavily into it. I think he's found about 50,000, but he's put out about 10 or 20,000. He's like number 5 in the entire world, but the ones that are above him are like teams of like 20, 30 people doing it. This guy's like pretty much, he has a couple friends helping, but it's all him. And he's done the Macomb Orchard Trail and the Clinton River Trail, the whole length of it, like 4 times. He'll put them out. It's like 300 of them, and then like a couple of years later, he'll put new ones out. So yeah,
I've done those about three times. The fourth time I haven't done yet, but it goes all the way from 24 into Quinder to Richmond.
Yeah, I've ridden on that trail. It goes all the way, you said what, 24 into Quinder? Yeah. I've driven it through Stony Creek from 27 in Van Dyke. And then I've driven it through, or I rode it through Romeo a couple times over the bridge. But that used to be a rail line way back when.
Yeah, they all have. That's why they call them rail trails or rails trails. There's a Paint Creek Trail. There's a Pollyann Trail. I only did part of that, but yeah, they're every 520 feet. So there's like 10 per mile, let's say. But, yep, I've been through all those trails several times. But the only one I haven't done that's fairly local is the Pollyann Trail. And that goes like through west of Rochester, Canada. I can't think of the, maybe Lakeville starts up.
Yeah, there's a trail that's right behind the Rochester Public Library, too, and that used to be a rail line. Yeah, I was looking that up, rails to trails, because I'm a railroad buff myself. So that's something I look up, where all the old rail lines are.
Right. Yep. I think the Pollyann Trail, I know it goes, it probably starts before Lakeville, but it goes all the way to Mayville. So, or Pontiac. I think it goes from, like, just north of Pontiac all the way to Mayville, the Pollyann Trail. Then there's some up north in the woods that are not trails. They're just called railroad grades, where you can just see where a railroad used to be, but they're all grown over. Just, you know, it's in the middle of a forest, so they've been grown over for like 100 years.
And the one along Bannock is pretty cool to ride on because it's, the ballast is still there. And, you know, when you ride on, it's elevated. So you see the old ballast from the rail line. I mean, there's some old rail lines still in 22 and in Ryan that are there, but they're turning them into trails right there through the old Ford grounds there. And then up in the tip of the thumb, up in Port Austin or Oak Beach area, there is, you can go back in the woods and you can see the old fire break from the 1800s.
Yeah, pretty much everywhere where there's rail trails, there's geocaches on them. And, you know, it's a pretty cool thing because, you know, you don't have to look very hard. You know, you're on the trail and you just pull over every 520 feet. And they're usually within about 10 feet of the trail. You can probably see them from the trail. But, yep. Yeah, I know what railroad you're talking about there, 22 and Van Dyke. Yeah, and I guess they're going to make the trail connect. They're going to connect like that trail with some other trail, I forget which.
It'll be interesting, but I think it'll be neat that you can go from through the entire state just by riding a bike or, you know, a moped or something like that. Just being able to ride the entire state from north to south and end up in Detroit at the Quinder Cut. That would be pretty cool.
WADAB. Well, I don't think mopeds are legal, but electric bikes are. And some people are whipping down there as if they were electric, you know, mopeds. Some of those electric bikes are faster than mopeds. But, I think there's supposed to be a 10-mile-an-hour limit, speed limit, 10 or 15, but I see people whipping down the rail trails faster than 10 or 15, probably 20, 25. But technically, that's illegal. You know, there's like class 1, class 2, and class 3 electric bikes. You know, one of them's like, you got to pedal, one is pedal and throttle, and one is like can go over 20 miles an hour, and it's you can just run it full on throttle without pedaling at all. I think that's class 3.
Okay, Joe. Yeah, those ones I'm not a big fan of. I mean, you got an electric bike. The whole purpose is, you know, it's fine that you have electric assist, but use the pedals. Get some exercise.
Yeah, I got regular pedal bikes. I do have an electric bike, but it's up north. I don't use it that much. My sister was selling it. She bought it, rode it like 3 times, didn't like it. Sold it for like half price. I'm like, I'll buy it for half price. I'll use it for something. But I use it sometime to whip around a neighborhood up north. I just want to cruise over to my buddy's house across the neighborhood. Sometimes I'll jump on that. Or if I want to run up to the store real quick. Mine does about 20. Yeah. It did like 18 miles an hour, but I did the mod to it. And it does about 23 or something like that.
Nope, I have a mountain bike, so it's all manual, 18 gears. That's how I get around. But it's been sitting in the shed for 4 years. I haven't used it. And my wife, she can't ride a bike anymore due to her stroke. I don't think she can stay stable. She thinks she can, but I don't think she will. When she can hardly walk down the hallway sometimes. Don't speak of the devil. She's calling me. I'll be right back. KCKGO.
All right, well, I'm going to head in the house. I'm in the driveway. I'll talk to you later. 73s,
W8EAP. And I'm back, KCKGO.
W8FU.
Good evening. Sounds like we made it through the week and we made it through Friday, okay. I heard something that got a nice extended weekend coming up. Congratulations. W8RCY.
Yeah. Just driving by your house right now. Let's see, right, going underneath the light right now. Beep, beep. How you doing? Anyhow, at El Charo's, the one in your old stomping grounds, Mama Wants Tacos.
That would be the one at the 9 1/2 in Harper, Manhattan, the street where the traffic light is, I think, Manhattan. That used to be an Arthur Treacher's back in the day, fish and chips. One of my hangouts from Lakeview High School there on 11 Mile Road about 5 decades ago. Yeah, El Charo. Is the one on 14 Mile there in downtown Fraser still open, the restaurant?
Yeah, it is, and from my house, I could do either one. It's about 6 1/2 half dozen the other, but, you know, with the one there in the Shores, it's just 696 straight over, 696 straight back, 15 minutes. So I choose that one. It seems to be the quickest. But, yeah, the one at 14 Mile Road. The advantage of the one at 14 Mile Road is I can call in my order in advance and be ready when I get there. That's that would be an advantage. I'll have to check it sometime to see which one's actually fastest. But I'll take freeway over surface streets any day of the week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, the one, that location there in the Shores, even after it became El Charo's from Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips, that was still the place to go back in, you know, when I was still living in that area or would frequent that neighborhood. Nothing much new here. I had small surgical procedure done by Dr. Dino on one of my radios, and now instead of a two-band radio, I have a four-band radio.
Four? I'm confused. Anyhow, so you'll have to tell me about it in the morning.
You know, I haven't done a show-and-tell presentation since my days in elementary school. I'll have to practice up on that tonight.
Roger. Yeah, I'm, I know the words bands gets bantered about sometimes. You know, it may be just something like that. I do not consider, you know, for instance, all UHF is all one band to me, so all VHF. But I see where people sometimes, you know, split those into segments. And in fact, I am, now I know some radios will get you 220. I don't know if you can actually transmit, but you can at least receive 220 on some. That would definitely constitute a band.
No, it's just an expansion of what the radio is capable of already doing. This is the newer 2 and 70 centimeter. So we just did a little procedure to stretch its wings a little bit.
Ah, okay. As we like to say, Mars mod.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyways, no Friday night date night tonight. The significant other is out with some friends of hers. And ladies' night out, so I said, okay, but yeah, so I will be at breakfast tomorrow morning, and we'll swing it from there, and like I said, I'll bring show and tell, and enjoy El Charo, and we'll catch you in the morning, and go from there. W8RCY.
You heard about Walt, right? I think you did. I think I noticed you did, right?
Yeah, I replied. I think it was Captain Don who posted something on his Facebook page about it, and I made a comment that we're all in trouble down here because those two now are up there, you know, monitoring all of us, so we have to be on our best behavior.
Yeah, I don't remember those two ever really, you know, they were both very, very prolific. Everywhere, talk to everyone. Everyone has a story about both of them guys. And but I don't remember those two ever chatting, really. I mean, I'm sure they did. It's funny, I didn't know Don until my reemergence into the hobby sometime, you know, in the 2000s. I've known Walt since day one. Walt was like, I think Walt gave me my, at least a few of my tests. Did a lot of them at Don's basement. There's a picture of him and Don over on one of the Facebook pages. That Don, WB8F, he used to open up his house in his basement to the local amateur community. It was a good times by all. It was something I've always felt was one of the highlights of ham radio. And I've always felt that if something like that could be reestablished somehow, even, you know, that would be a good thing. But, anywho, I've known Don, I've known Walt since those days, way back in the very earliest days of my ham radio experience. And have like everyone, a dozen stories or more. If not hundreds. All right, anyhow, I'm going to pay attention here. I am already, I was, when I, you heard when I said I was going underneath the light right by your house there, right by your place, and I am now about I think the next exit is, well, that depends. You know what? I'll probably take 94 to 10 mile. That's probably the smart money. I was going to get off at the 11-mile road exit, but now I think I'll... But that's how far along I am. It's crazy.
Yeah, that 11-mile exit ramp, that's a kind of a double-edged sword for me. One is it's, past that light there at 94 eastbound side exit and entrance ramps. My parents' house was the first street there on the left. And then as you also come off that exit ramp at 11-mile road, you got to slow it down because when you crest that bridge and that hill and you see the I-94 bridge and the traffic light ahead of you, underneath the eastbound 696 to the eastbound eastbound I-94 freeway, there's usually a Roseville cop sitting right there to get you as you crest that hill, as you come off the bridge and the exit ramp, and they get a lot of people there. And I tell people, beware, hunker down, slow it down. It's the moment you start going up the ramp. Because if you're not at 35, they'll get you.
I know coming the other way, getting on the 696 coming west, right there, that can be a persnickety entrance ramp. There's sometimes loose gravel on it. I know often when I would, if I'd be getting on the freeway there on my motorcycle, you have to be careful. I know one guy that broke loose there and got a hell of a case of road rash right there. And so I'll never forget that one. That one, I'm always very careful getting on there as well.
Yeah, the other thing I noticed is, since you're mentioning the westbound side, as you're going westbound over 94 and under the service drive and get on the entrance ramp to 696 to head west, that overhead sign was taken down, and I guess during the reconstruction of the ramps and stuff like that when 696 was rebuilt 3 years ago, and they haven't put the sign back up, and even when I go through it now, because I'm in the Shores once every 6 weeks, and I'm heading back the same way you would head back, that sign's missing, and sometimes I forget about it, and you can almost miss getting on the entrance ramp because it's like right there and blind. So, yeah, I understand it pretty well. Okay, well, we'll see you in the morning, and we'll go from there.
Well, since I should have got off at 11 because it's... slowed down to a crawl on 94. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't got to go far, but we are barely crawling. I'm not even off the ramp yet on 94. Man. All right. We'll talk to you in a bit. WAFU.
Well, hopefully it's not a bad accident. Or are there any politicians in town? I think Kamala's in town today, and I think the Donald will be in sometime over the weekend. So there could be a traffic issue there, but I'm not fully aware. I haven't been tracking it that closely. All right, catch you later. W8RCY.
We dumped on the 94, and there's absolutely no reason for it. It's up to full speed, so I'm getting off here at 10. Weird. And the big Cheeto was here in town, just a few miles from you there, this afternoon. Matter of fact, he's probably barely out of town, if he's out of town at all. I'm not sure about the rest. I think... Tampon Tim was over in the west side of the state. I'm not real sure, but yeah, we had the big Cheeto over here.
Did you have to do any special radio stuff?
Actually, no. The rule has been all system work that has even the remotest chance of taking anything down is prohibited until the until the 6th. And so that's pretty much been the rule for the last couple of 3 weeks here.
Thank you, KPP. I don't know who I put it into, but you were kind of quiet today, and I figured you were probably doing important radio stuff.
No, we kind of monitor it, and I was busy. I had some administrative crap to deal with this morning, so that had me pretty much out of the loop all morning, and then you know, we monitor it, just make sure everything's going smoothly. But like I say, our job is to just stay completely transparent and stay the hell out of the way, you know, during this kind of stuff. And, you know, and our job is to just make sure that nothing gets worked on. We put a moratorium on all unnecessary work. So the only work we do is, and even work that, you know, needs to get done, if it's not in any way, you know, decreasing capacity or functionality, then we wait. We have this, we did have a thing happen. We got one of our power banks lost the module, and the fix presents a small non-zero amount of risk. So he says, nope, it ain't hurting nothing, let it go.
For you. What did I cut in? I apologize. NAKPP. Nobody important, just WARCY. Good evening. Hey, Don. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm on work today, so I'm on a short little jog here from the office back home. I figured I'd see if that's why he was not available, just because, you know, important radio stuff. So, how goes RCY?
It's been going. I'm flying solo tonight on Friday night date night because the significant other is out with some of her former gymnastics teammates from back in the day, and they get together at least twice a year. I guess they're staying here in town for like a week, so they decided to make it a 2-weekend event instead of a 1-weekend event, and that'll be wrapping up tonight and tomorrow, and I'll see her tomorrow night, so in time for the Michigan football game.
There you go. Mr. Jean's got a big game tomorrow. Penn State, I think, against Ohio. How do you think that's going to shake out for you, Jean?
Well, after the performance last week, I'm pretty nervous about it. But I have, I got to hope that we prevail. And but I'll tell you what, I saw some cracks in the armor, and I'm up to order, so I'll be back in a few. So, hold on.
Yeah, Don, I was a little disappointed. I'm kind of a State fan. I mean, it's all in good fun. Whitey is a Michigan fan. I really thought Michigan was going to take it last week, but or lose it last week. I thought Michigan was going to do good to them, because I watched the last two games before that. They had a fantastic running back, a fantastic backup quarterback, and they had all my hopes and dreams up for Green, and I didn't see any of those players. I don't remember their names, but they weren't there against Michigan, so Michigan got them.
Well, I never attended Michigan or Michigan State. I just went to a small community college, but Joe, my significant other, she only went to Grand Valley State, but she's a bit of a, she's kind of like on the fence like me. We just like both teams, and I favor Michigan, she favors Michigan, but we have friends, connections on Michigan State, and I have a bit of a heart for Michigan State with all they've been through in recent years with athletic directors and the gymnastics controversy, the fight that broke out, and the only person I really root for on Michigan State is the basketball coach, Tom Izzo, because that man just, and I forgot to mention the shooting as well, Tom Izzo is just.
Sean. Back to you, Don.
If you transmitted between me and the time talking about my respect for Tom Izzo, there was no transmission. And when you just now threw it back to me, it's the first time I've heard you.
No, it went to the ump repeater. I really got to turn that little Z off. How about now?
You're fine and solid now. It's perfect, but I'm not scanning anything right now. I'm just locked in on the 2.6, and I actually had to shut off the Troy 575 that I monitor as well. But, it was just weird there for a minute because you're between my Tom Izzo comment and you said back to me there was no transmission at all. I thought maybe you had gotten a phone call or something.
No, you know how these scan heads are on these M radios. Sometimes they're awful fast. I got to go in there and tweak it and turn it down to about 5 seconds or something like that. And then I've got it prioritized, but the ump repeater is not in the, I mean, it's in the scan routine, but it's not in the priority. So it's really weird. Like, number one priority is Richmond. Number two priority is 2.6. So it's kind of weird that it went there.
Speaking of Moto, your radio was originally a 1.6 CPS software, and did you upgrade it to 2.0 for ham operations, or the other way around? Did you do it like 2.0 right from the get-go?
It really has nothing to do with what programming software you use. It has everything to do with what firmware is on the radio. And then you can just flip between one and the other. It doesn't matter, whichever one you're more comfortable with. As long as you don't take the radio over 2.09, you can use either one. You can use them both at the same time, actually, and it's not a problem. It's once you take the radio over 2.09, if you take the radio to any of them, any of the MTR, BROs, or what they call them, any of the XPRs or of that series, if you take it to 2.10, then you're stuck at CPS 2.0. It's the radio firmware you don't want to update.
Okay, because I'm at 2.09, and 2.09.001.00, whatever 1 it is. So, I mean, because the radio itself was purchased 5 years ago, so it's still got the 16 software and everything like that. But one of the things I read on Facebook, and I don't know if you've heard any issues with it. Again, this is Facebook, so that's on the Internet, and that must be true. Like Al Gore says, you know, about the ozone and everything else. The people that are buying the R7, the updated model, to use it for ham purposes, are telling people don't buy the R7 if you can get the XPR 7550s like you and I have. I was just wondering if you heard anything about that as well. But right now my firmware is 2.09. I'm good there. Thanks for that information.
Yeah, there's a bunch of white asses out there that don't like that 2.0 whatever. And like it or not, it's is what they're updating. You know, the other one is what, from 2018. So the code plugin, if you read some of the Big M forms, you know, it's basically they don't like the interface. They don't like it doesn't have Bluetooth. They don't like blah, 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 blah. Okay, and it is slower, okay, but it is what they support, is what they're doing, and all that other stuff. My guess is that probably what they don't like about it is the R7's probably got 210 or 212 or 215 or whatever it is in it, and then you have to use code plug 2.0, and then some of them, like, you know, to do the wideband. I mean, they want $5 for it, okay? And some of them cry about the $5. So you can get and I just paid the $5. I didn't do any of the hacking or anything else like that. So all the ones I got, you know, you just pay the $5 and get it. And, you know, some of these crybabies are, you know, oh, my God, they want $5 for it. How dare they? And I have to open up an account. Okay, you tell them you're a ham guy. They're really good about it. They help you out. And you pay the $5 and you get the wideband entitlement. So I think a lot of it is just unfounded.
I just had some, I had a surgical, I don't know if you were hearing earlier, but I had a surgical operation procedure done on my one of my works on keys today, and had some alterations done to that. But so the next step now is to get the motors worked on, and before I do anything, we have to Sean has to check, or somebody's got to check why one of my frequencies are not keying up. It's a fat finger in the L tone or in the entrance of the actual frequency, because the B side of it works fine, but the A side, which is primary to the MIA, is not working. So, and then once we get that done, then we can go, you know, bat butt crazy on the motos and get them updated. So, anyway, is Sean back with the tacos yet?
I'm at the window right now. My order should be coming out the window next. But I thought the problem with the 2.0 at some point was it was subscription only.
Only if you go to the M whatever it is firmware. If you got 2.10, it's not subscription. And even then, if it times out, basically they're not going to update the radio anymore. But 210 is 2.0 only, and 210 is not a subscription. Then after that, then they went to the M, and the M is subscription only for like 5 years. But even then, so let's say you don't want to subscribe to their service contract. So if your radio is stuck at M 2024 dash, you know, whatever month this is, dash 11, so what? I mean, all these features that I've seen since they've added on for 209, for us, we don't need them. So, you know, that's not a big deal. Like the ones that you had, those were all at 209, which is fine. Just leave them there.
And you leave them there at the 16 CPS software, correct?
No, you physically have to download it and push it to it through either the CPS. 16 or the CPS. So let's say for some reason there was a feature that you wanted on 210, you would have to physically push it to the radio. You would have to download it and then hit update, and then it'll give you the choices of all the different firmwares that you have loaded on your PC that you could push to the phone. You would physically have to do it. It couldn't even be done by accident.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got everything on paperwork from when Motorola-MCA did my radios initially before they were, some changes were made through Sean's office equipment and so on and so forth. But I have that paperwork. You can, like, look it over and read it, and, you know, we'll sit down and get it all straightened out and then just go, like I said, bat poop crazy on it.
Yeah, that's fine. Just leave it at 209. I mean, the only feature that I saw was 210 was it would let you hear DMR channels, other talk groups. But it had to be a Motorola repeater, and that function had to be enabled and purchased by the Motorola repeater owner. So, and I checked out, and MI5 doesn't have that, so you can't listen to all the talk groups. You still got to load all of the talk groups. At the end of the day, it's still a commercial radio, so you have to kind of work around it.
Okay, then. Like I said, I got all the I don't have paperwork from, you know, the second go-round, but I have the initial paperwork from Motorola/MCA when they originally were the first ones to touch the radio and put the GMRS stuff in it and everything like that, the initial go-round. So all we did the second go-round was just add stuff to it and reformat the way I did it. So, and once you see it, it's pretty much self-explanatory. But we'll get to that when you have time and so on and so forth, when we can sit down at breakfast or something. Okie dokie. Tacos on the way home? Sounds like he might be taste testing them, so we will let him taste test them in peace. W8RCY for identification.
Yeah, that paperwork is easily recoverable as long as the radio still works, which it does. You just hook it up, and you just tell it to read the code plug, and then you just go there and say print it. So that stuff is all real easy to get back, and then you get a detailed sheet of everything. So, you know, as far as that goes, it's, I mean, they're pretty impressive radios. You know, I've been kind of, Sean and I have been kind of talking about Kenwoods a little bit, because Kenwoods will be P25 and DMR, and there's a handful of P25 repeaters floating around. I don't know if they still work or not, but I do know that these have P25 capabilities on them too. So I kind of like to play around with that. That will be my next quest. Where's Taco Man?
Sounds like he's still in taste test mode. Yeah, Kenwoods are great radios, but my loyalty is to Motorola because when I was working in racing, all of our radios were always Motorola supplied through the racing equipment suppliers like Racing Radios and Racing Electronics. They only used Motorola commercial radios in their main systems and then the lower CP radios like a CP200 or something. For the mechanics, so those radios would have gotten beaten up. And the operations people, they had the higher-end radios, like the 750s and the 1250 HTs. And then when I updated mine in 2019, that's when I went with the XPR. So that's it there. All right, enough shop talk. Where's the Taco King at?
It never fails. The worst possible night for there to be screw-ups. They screw up my order royally. And that's just, it's turning out to be an SHI you-know-what night.
Welcome to
the new world.
Tacos are a little more complicated than White Castles. And when I order White Castles, I order just pickles, onions only. No condiments whatsoever. And you open up the first box, you look inside, and there's ketchup and mustard. And it's like, no! How can you screw that up? But they just figure they put ketchup and onions. Everybody wants ketchup and onions on their White Castle, or ketchup and mustard. And I go, not me. Pickles and onions only. So that happens occasionally.
Well, it ain't jacking up a food order. It's all sorts of little things, you know, from, you know, stupid traffic moves and stuff like that. But no, I Friday night's my dart night, right? And I got home a little late, I'm a little tired and all that, and I really didn't want to play, so I called the guys. We're, like, in first place and doing really well, and I call the guys. I go, you got four? Because if you got four, I'm taking the night off. Okay, great. So I says, and then I said to my wife, I go, you want El Charles? Well, that's a, you know, that's a 20-minute ride for me, plus whatever it takes to order, 20 minutes back and all that stuff. I says, okay, well, I don't got to play tonight, so let's do that. And that's her favorite. She loves it. I love it, all that stuff. So I take off. I get there. I no sooner finish the order, I get a call from my guys at Darts about 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago. You got to come. Jim had to go to the hospital. So one of my teammates had to go to the hospital for something, you know. So how is he, right? You know, so I guess he's okay, but he can't play. But now I gotta get there. So crap, I'm way on the other side of town. It's going to take me at least, you know, half an hour, maybe 45 minutes to get, you know, by the time I get clear of here, and then I won't be able to eat. I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to have to just throw my stuff in the refrigerator and come out there. And, you know, it's like it's, you know, but I understand, right? And then I get up to the thing, and they hand me my order, and I said, this can't be right. And she says, no, that's right. And I go, this can't be right. I go, I ordered, you know, $30 worth of food, and you hand me one little bag. No, she goes, everything's there. And so I said, okay, I don't believe you. I pull over, go to the parking lot. Sure enough, it's not all there. So now I got to go in, all this other stuff. I'm just like, it's just crap like that.
Make sure you tip them.
Well, I did that before they, you know, before they handed me the light bag, so it was already a done deal.
It was my feeble attempt at this tipping crap. So, I just like, oh my gosh, it's just, you know, you want to die at top, and then, oh, here, you want to tip us? You know, 18% or something, sometimes it's like the minimum button. I can tell you a funny story. I was talking with a client of mine, and he was talking, he says he went down to Disney something or another with his kids, and he says he went to buy a bottle of water from the vending machine, and the vending machine display asked him if he wanted to tip the vending machine. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, my only bad food story in a fast food was once a year, I treat myself to a 20-piece box of Chicken McNuggets, and I just get the barbecue sauce. Go to the one in Royal Oak there by the post office, the famous one there, train station, post office one. And I go in there, and I get my box of 20, and I open up the box, and I dump them out, and there's only 14 in there. So I pick up the tray, and I walk back to the counter, and I just so happen to know the manager, former high school graduate, underclassman by about a year or two. We grew up in the same neighborhood, so we kind of know each other. And I said to her, Jackie, I just got these, and there's only 14 in the box. And she goes, you're kidding me. I said, nope. So she gets the guy who made them, and sure enough, I asked, I says, box says box of 20. My receipt says I paid for a box of 20. Why is there only 14 in there? The guy's demanding that he swore, and I said up and down that he put 20 in there. And, you know, Jackie said she saw me walk away from the counter and dump them, and says, there's no way he took a bite from any of these. So, and I can't down six of them in a matter of a minute and a half, 2 minutes. So, yeah. And this is back when, people were asking for break. Got to fix the timer on this one. When they were starting to ask for $15 an hour, and I said to myself, you're asking for $15 an hour and you can't count to 20? That's just sad. So, that's my horror story. Sean?
I'm just going to check out. I get more pissed off every frickin' minute this whole night. So I'm just going to check out of here. W8FU.
Yeah, he's gonna go off the list. He's got him. So, yeah, I know. There's a whole bunch of people that just don't care anymore. And the level compared to when we all grew up, of paying attention, paying the detail, paying everything else, has just gotten so sad. It's just terrible. So, Don, I gotta let you go. My wife was at the door, and I gotta go take her and get something to eat. So, you have a good day. And we will chat a little later, and we'll get your Big M radio set up the way you want it.
Marion. Have a good night. And, yeah, I'll just be sitting here chillaxing. And, it doesn't sound like I'll see you at breakfast, but I'll see you at breakfast again soon. Do take care. And for me, W8RCY will be signing off. Later, Gator. I'm not going to make it either. I got to go take an aeroplane to the other side of the country. Got to go to work for 3 or 4 days. Later. W8FU.